Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we're studying the books of 1 and 2 Samuel as we continue in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13.
When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Israel's history throughout the time of Judges was a very dark period, revealing the need for good leadership. The Israelites need a leader who can model what it looks like to live faithfully and obediently in a relationship with God. In the book of 1 Samuel, the Israelite people tell their prophet Samuel that they want a king, and God responds by giving them Saul. But unfortunately, Saul turns out to be a big disappointment. He is dishonest, greedy, he's prideful, and he's disobedient to God. So the prophet Samuel, speaking on behalf of God, informs Saul that a new king is going to replace him. God chooses a man named David to be the new king, but David's not what anyone would have expected as God's pick. When Samuel follows God's lead to go and anoint David, David is still very young with the humble occupation of a shepherd. Youth, lack of experience, a lowly occupation, no sense of notoriety, these aren't qualities we naturally ascribe with leadership or kingship. Samuel questions God's pick, but listen to what God replies. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So what does God see in David's heart? 1 Samuel describes David as a man after God's heart. This means that David is willing to let God's will be the guide of his life. Think about it this way. If I have a heart for travel, it's something I'm passionate about and want to pursue, and my husband has a heart for my heart, he's going to pursue travel as well. He's going to invest some of his time and resources into it because it's something I care about. In the same way, David having a heart for God's heart means he's going to pursue what God cares about. He's going to walk in the ways God commands. It's through David's submission to God and his heart or his will that God uses David, that he demonstrates his power through David. One example of this is in the famous story of David and Goliath, where David goes to battle a giant with just a sling and a few stones, and God gives David victory in this battle because David trusts in God's superior strength. Because David is led by God and not fear. Let's further explore this idea of submitting to God and his will. Picture a mom cooking dinner with her little kids in the kitchen. What's going to happen if the kids on their own accord decide how they're going to help? There's most likely going to be an unnecessary mess, some questionable flavors, and possibly even some injuries. But if the kids quote unquote submit to mom's will, she can actually use their help. Maybe she'll assign stirring to the 3-year-old, sifting to the 5-year-old, and measuring to the 7-year-old. The kids are then able to be useful to their mom, not because of their cooking expertise, but because of their obedience to her. It's the same with David and God. Because David is submitted to God as his king, God empowers David to lead well as Israel's king. David unifies Israel's tribes, and he conquers Jerusalem to make it Israel's capital. The kingdom is flourishing under David. God even tells David he will bring a descendant from his line who will build a dynasty that lasts forever. God promises that this descendant will reign over an eternal kingdom. At this point in the story, things seem to be going really well for David and for Israel, but then the narrative takes a turn for the worse. David makes a bad decision that involves both adultery and murder. He sleeps with a married woman and then has that woman's husband placed in the front lines of battle, a guaranteed death sentence. Consequently, David's family and kingdom begin falling apart. The end of his story leaves us wondering, how is God going to fulfill his promise to establish the eternal kingdom? It makes us wonder, did David's sin mess up the plan? Do you ever feel like your mistakes might have messed things up? Do you ever feel unworthy to be used by God? Remember that David wasn't chosen as king because he was impressive. David also wasn't known as the greatest king of Israel because of his perfect track record. Like all of us, David had to repent over and over again for his sin throughout his life. John Elmore is a pastor in Dallas, and he leads one of the world's largest 12-step recovery programs. Elmore wrote a book from his own experience struggling with addiction. Listen to how he begins the book. I put a shotgun to my head because I wanted my life to end. I wanted the pain to be over. And I wondered if I could go through with it. It was September 2005 and I was losing everything, including my sanity. I could feel the darkness around me. Insomnia, mania, nightmares, loss of appetite, risky behavior. I had three doctors tell me I would die if I kept drinking. I thought, good, I want to die, but I don't want to hurt my family by committing suicide. But I hope one morning I just don't wake up. So how did a man go from stuck in a desperate situation to leading thousands? From being enslaved to his own addictions to helping others recover from theirs. In his book, Elmore points out that the first four theses of Martin Luther, the great reformer, centered on repentance. He quotes Luther saying, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance." Elmore found freedom from his addiction and became a leader that God used to accomplish incredible impact because he lived a life of constant repentance and dependence upon God's power to move forward. Elmore says, "You walk with God and God does the work. Period. There's no other way." David's sin didn't mess up God's plan because the plan wasn't dependent upon David's kingship. It was dependent upon God's. I'm going to say that again. The plan wasn't dependent upon David's kingship, but upon God's kingship. God's promise to David ultimately found its fulfillment in Jesus, a descendant of David who came as the ultimate king. With his death and resurrection, Jesus launched the age of his eternal reign. What kind of king is Jesus? In an even greater way than David did, Jesus unites his people. His kingdom made up of people from all over the world. As king, Jesus is restoring his people and his world, and one day he will bring this restoration to completion. His reign of justice and peace lasting for eternity. I'm assuming that you'd like for God to use you. You want him to work through your job, your relationships, your service to accomplish his will. If this is you, I want to tell you that the most important thing you can do is not to focus on your performance, but to submit to God as your king. This looks like daily, even moment by moment, asking yourself, What is God's will? What is God's will for me today? What is God's will for me in this situation? And when you realize you started to go down the path of being directed by your feelings or maybe your appetite for success or comfort over what God cares about, it means repenting. It means saying, God, I'm sorry. I want to turn from my ways and keep pressing on with a renewed vision to live with a heart after your heart. So would you just take a moment now to go before God with a submissive heart and seek his will and repent of any ways you haven't been obeying him? As you submit to God, he will use you in all your imperfections and failures to accomplish his great plan for this world. He will use you not because you are impressive or good, but because he is. As you listen to the worship song coming up, praise God for being our perfect King.
Come, sing of what he's done. There is hope for everyone. Sing of what he's done.